Welcome to Listener's Choice Month here at the Fireside Bookshelf. Each Sunday in June, we will be broadcasting one of the show's top five episodes from the past year. Join our host Ginger Green as she opens doors to the literary world, both past and present, featuring some of the best Christian books pertinent to believers and their pursuit of biblical truth. Each week, she will discuss selected resources which have touched her heart and life, with a hope that will enhance your study of the Scriptures and encourage you in your spiritual walk. From foundational Christian truths to marriage and parenting to understanding the times we live in, Ginger has assembled some amazing Christian authors, and each week we'll explore their works, all designed to help us grow in grace and knowledge in Jesus Christ. And now for today's presentation.
Why are so many people unhappy? Because we search for relief from our problems instead of searching for a cure. And we're actually pretty good at finding relief, achieving temporary rest from our anger, our fear, our frustration, and most of the things with which we struggle. But relief is not the answer to lasting healing. It's only short term. It doesn't last. Yet finding a cure is a different thing altogether. And there is a cure. So come be a part as world-renowned author and counselor, Dr. Henry Brandt, identifies an answer for the problems we never seem to be able to thoroughly defeat in his book entitled, When You Are Tired of Treating the Symptoms and You're Ready for a Cure, Give Me a Call. After decades of counseling, Henry Brandt became convinced the core of nearly every problem people face is unconfessed sin, and repentance is the cure that heals our sin and our lives. It is the key for making changes that last. Repentance that consists of confession of sin and submission to the Lordship of Christ. We will always be able to find short-term relief, but relief only treats the symptoms. Repentance that depends on the cleansing grace of God brings healing. Filled with the true life stories of hundreds whom he counseled, this book focuses on everyday questions and problems. Dr. Brandt reveals a way of life in which you can find peace in the midst of pain and joy during the struggles that seem overwhelming. His insight and biblical knowledge break the cycle of our reoccurring symptoms, helping us to find freedom through repentance. My parents became family counselors toward the end of my high school years, and so I was surrounded by and educated in the tenets of biblical counseling. So when in the early 1990s I saw more and more psychology and self-help programs being introduced and embraced in churches under the guise of Christian psychology, I began searching for a biblical response to the idea that man was too complex, too evolved, for Scripture alone to meet his needs and to deal with all the problems facing him in the modern world. When I first came across this book in the mid-90s, the title alone was more than enough to pique my interest and compel me to pick up my first copy. But I was skeptical at first, because Dr. Brandt's educational background was in psychology, and I was afraid that I would find just one more attempt to merge the man-centered philosophies of humanism with the godly Christ-centered teachings of Scripture. What I found surprised me and came as a welcome relief. Here is Dr. Brandt's story. In late 1947, he enrolled in graduate school, and for the first time in his life, he was taught by highly trained, thoughtful, dedicated professors who not only used textbooks that ruled out God, but who themselves sincerely believed that there is no God. For them, God isn't. Henry writes, "In my studies in clinical psychology, we grappled with the challenge of helping disturbed people. We thoughtfully pondered how to help hostile, hateful, resentful, rebellious, frustrated, confused, angry, cruel, selfish, dishonest, destructive people." We all agreed that these words accurately described the dark side of human behavior. We were taught that a person is a biological organism whose total personality is the product of functioning in a social and cultural context. A disturbed person is one whose needs are not met when he comes into the world, one who is neglected, who lives in an environment that is cold and indifferent toward him. To understand what is behind this disturbed person's behavior is to seek complex origins in a murky past. The process can take months or years. Then the question becomes, what in the world can be changed or given to release this person from a prison of destructive emotions and behavior? If you believe that God isn't, that no deity can save us, then we must save ourselves. This is the position taken in secular colleges, secular textbooks, in most graduate training, and in a formidable mass of scientific research. This is the operating philosophy of government, heavily financed mental health agencies, professionally trained counselors, and the bulk of medically trained personnel. Human problems are not ignored. In fact, Brandt notes, we spend billions of dollars annually searching for solutions. Educators, politicians, psychiatrists, psychologists, sociologists, social workers, social agencies, and law enforcement confront these problems every day. A massive group of people, intelligent, educated, influential, politically powerful people who have the best interests of humanity at heart, firmly and fiercely reject the concept of sin, a creator, and a God. You might compare that host of people to a huge giant called Goliath. They firmly believe God isn't. There is another tiny group standing up to Goliath. This group, to which Dr. Brandt belonged, believe that God is. They agree with the Goliath crowd that these words accurately describe the dark side of human behavior. But at this point in the road, they come to a fork. They disagree that these words describing human behavior are socially and culturally caused. Their guidebook is the Bible, and the Bible puts all those descriptive words under one heading. The heading is sin. We are born with sinful hearts. Society only brings out of our hearts what is already there. When our leader announced to the Goliath crowd that he came to save them from their sins, they replied with one thunderous voice, "Crucify him," and they did. In standing up to Goliath, our little group might be compared to a little boy called David. We dare to use the word sin and affirm that there is no human remedy for sin. You need a Savior who will cleanse you from sin and empower you to walk in the Spirit, in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If it is sin, that's great news. Sin is the simplest thing in the world to deal with. Jesus died to cleanse us from our sin. But that's too simple, says the Goliath crowd. It is recorded that the third day after Jesus was crucified, the disciples were assembled in a room with the doors shut for fear of religious leaders. Jesus appeared in the room and said to them, "Peace be with you." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." John 20:21-22. Are we to believe that Jesus can change a fearful person into a peaceful person as quickly as it takes to exhale a breath of air? Make no mistake, the people who approach life from humanistic assumptions make up a large majority of the people you deal with every day. How long has it been since you heard a conversation about sin and its cure? Dr. Brandt shares how, as he labored in the past to take an accurate case history from a counselee, he came across these statements in Scripture. Jesus knowing their thoughts, Luke 11:17. Jesus knowing their hypocrisy, Mark 12:15. God who knows your heart, Acts 15:8. Dr. Brandt realized Jesus didn't need a case history, and he began to pray for wisdom and understanding. Proverbs 2:6 tells us, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." We should not underestimate the cleansing power available when anyone approaches God as a repentant sinner who has seen their sins and wants to be restored and renewed. It does not take God long to transform a humble person. As a society, we have bought into the myth of complexity. The Bible simply isn't sufficient to deal with all the life issues of modern man. Yet Scripture tells us, "Come unto me, all ye that labor, are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. And Psalms 55:22 says, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you." So how can we find peace and satisfaction in this world? Jesus clearly tells us that it is his intention for us to move through this world peacefully and cheerfully, untroubled and unafraid, as long as we look to him to enable us. With such a resource readily available, Dr. Brandt writes, "I'm overwhelmed by the absence of personal peace and by the level of misery under which Christians are willing to live." Christians all too frequently and unabashedly accept the word of secular mental health people who tell them that such conditions are socially and culturally based and relief is to be found in the world. They are correct. Jesus himself said that you can find a kind of peace in the world, but he also said that we should look to him, not to the world he created. Many Christians have adopted, without really thinking, kind of a so what, never mind what Jesus said attitude, and have turned to the world in search of peace. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you, do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 14:26. What will you do with Jesus and his word in this verse? He says you can have peace in this world by turning either to him or to the world he created. The world offers the following to bring peace: places, activities, events, things, and people. The Human Manifesto 2 says, "Happiness and the creative realization of human needs and desires, individually and in shared enjoyment, are continuous things of humanism. Critical intelligence infused by a sense of human caring is the best method that humanity has for resolving problems." The humanist is right. This world contains ample resources that, coupled with the best efforts of caring people, should result in a world of satisfied, happy people. But alas, there is a flaw in this beautiful picture. In this wonderful world, families are breaking up, occurrences of child abuse and other family violence are growing, delinquency, theft, murder, crime, and emotional disorders threaten our survival. There are multitudes starving to death and nations destroying each other. The finest human effort in a magnificent world is not enough to quiet the human heart in times of trouble and stress. But Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may find peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." John 16:33. Based on all the options we have in going after peace, we should take careful note when Jesus gently tells us to turn to him. We can turn to him and not the world if the peace we seek is to be deeply satisfying and lasting. This also applies when we are seeking help. We can either look to the world or we can look to God. We can either choose a humanistic viewpoint or a biblical perspective. Although the current name is humanism, as a philosophy of life, it is nothing new. Rejecting God and centering a way of life and the way of thinking around man's interests and values has been around since the beginning of time. Dr. Brandt explains that in graduate school, his professors identified a rather predictable response caused by growing up in a restricted environment. They identified a poor start in life as one that hinders self-expression, frustrates the pleasure needs, and provides wrong reinforcers. The consequences of growing up in this type of environment are adults who respond to the circumstances of life in the following ways: hostility, resentment, hate, pessimism, fear, doubt, perplexity, conflict, confusion, pain, depression, indifference, cruelty, lack of generosity, rage, and the oppression of others. Under this line of thought, people blame their present behavior on their past experiences, and with proper behavioral alterations in the people, circumstances, and social conditions that surround an individual, changes can occur without ever giving God a thought. Counseling, done by trained, caring, kindly people, and followed up by appropriate changes, can bring relief, but not a change of heart. Finding relief from sin instead of obtaining cleansing is a cruel trap. Relief from sin allows me to be comfortably separated from God. But as followers of Jesus, we need to take seriously the subject of sin. We do indeed face very serious social problems in our society today. If it is sin that is the cause, then there couldn't be any better news, for there is a cure for sin. But if we reject the diagnosis as sin and believe these problems are socially or culturally caused, we will then proceed to investigate exposure to family, friends, church, community, etc. for an explanation. People often suffer greatly from the ravages of sin while they are sincerely and carefully trying to correct the suffering, but they are following the wrong diagnosis and therefore the wrong treatment. If you are dealing with sin, you must turn to the Creator and to the Savior for cleansing, strengthening, and changing. If it is sin, society didn't put it into you. Society only stirs up what is already in you. If it is sin, then society can't help you. It requires a supernatural cure. Remember, sin is not something we recover from. It is not something we learn to manage or control with self-help techniques. It is something we humbly bow before the Lord and repent of, and then daily rely on the Holy Spirit to work out in us what Christ has accomplished on our behalf. I cannot change what I am deep down inside. Only God can. I can change surface actions and behaviors. I have a human tendency to idealistically view myself. I think I can change my behavior if I'm just determined enough. This leads to some great acting, but not to a change in cured heart. When we harbor unconfessed sin, when we are habitually living in rebellion to God's word, we will find ourselves at a distance from the Lord. There will be no intimacy in our fellowship. God will seem distant and unconcerned, and even at times seem like he isn't there at all. Only Jesus lived the Christian life. Only Jesus in control of our hearts will enable us to live the Christian life today. Every day we repent and yield, we will find the Lord is there. If you don't know what sin is, you will inevitably suffer from its effects and probably wonder why. A very insightful chapter defines the nature of sin, an offense against God, and provides a chart which breaks down sins into four categories: sins of the mind, sinful emotions, sins of the mouth, and sins of behavior. There is also a very helpful table comparing the differences between spirit-controlled living and sin-controlled living. Most people generally agree that walking in the Spirit is a superior way to live, but realistically, a miracle is needed to actually live this way. Only God can cleanse us from sin and empower us to walk in the Spirit. The good news? We are free to choose. Recognizing our own sin is always difficult. Usually, we don't seek a real cure for our problems, our sin. We just want relief from the consequences of our sin. 1 John 1:9 states, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Dr. Brandt provides a complete examination of the 5-step process of biblical confession. He also includes chapters on forgiveness and peace in the midst of pain. My brother once posted on his Facebook page, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." He got quite a mixed bag of responses. The most common was basically this: "Anyone who talks about rejoicing always just doesn't understand the real situation." It seems many Christians have come to believe, if not in word, then in practice, that our problems are just too big for God. That Scripture's call to us to rejoice is hopelessly outdated for the problems of modern man. We must now look to modern man for the answers to lasting change. Dr. Brandt shares some of his first responses to this idea of rejoicing always in his book, which seem to mirror many of those my brother received as well. "Rejoice always? You've got to be kidding. Who wants to be that joyful? Is it even appropriate? What about the death in a family? Discovery that a child is on drugs, job loss, injured in an accident, beaten or abused. Dr. Brent shares that while thinking about this verse over a period of 2 weeks, he did not succeed once in rejoicing for a full 24-hour period. Can anyone enjoy facing a crisis? He often thought that joy is on the other side of a difficult problem, and that it only comes with a solution. 1 Thessalonians suggests, however, that one can joyfully work towards a solution. Dr. Brandt concluded that this is not humanly possible. To rejoice always requires a miracle, not just an ordinary one, but a full-blown supernatural miracle. The Bible says that joy is the fruit of the Spirit of God, Galatians 5:22. This is a condition of the heart that occurs at any given time when one consciously recognizes the impossibility of human achievement of joy, but as an act of will yields to the joy of the Lord. The miracle then follows. If we stand with open hands before God, He can put into our hands, or He can take out of our hands, whatever He wants. Sometimes it is painful, but in knowing He loves us, we can trust Him. He wants our hearts to be satisfied with Him. He wants us to appreciate everything that He has given us, even the difficulties, because they are there for a purpose that is for our good. If we are willing to do this, then it becomes possible through the power of the Holy Spirit to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. But tough times do not always produce perseverance, character, and hope. It only happens when we put our faith in the Lord. Turning away from the Lord produces hopelessness, anxiety, worry, anger, and rebellion. If that is our position, then we do not benefit from the experience. We only suffer when we go through it alone. We cannot change our past failures, but God will forgive us of those sins if we ask, and all of us can let the Holy Spirit control our lives today and in the future. This hopeful opportunity can be a pleasant, stimulating experience. God designed us to live our lives becoming more Christ-like and to enjoy the process. And even in the middle of the process, we can see His loving plans come together in His timing. Modern psychology, including Christian psychology, says God, His Word, and the biblical prescription for life's pains, problems, and habits aren't sufficient to cure the ills of modern man. Without the enlightenment, addition, and application of man's study of the human mind and its functions, especially those affecting behavior, man's problems can't be solved. Yet Dr. Brandt knew at the heart of this battle was a false narrative, and he set out to bring forth truth. The truth that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The 18 lessons for making lasting change covered in this book focus on the beautiful and simple truth that God loves us and has provided a way to live an abundant, peaceful life, to break the bondage of our wounds, destructive habits, ungodly behaviors, and to find lasting healing. So if you're tired of treating the symptoms and you're ready for the cure, I hope you will order Dr. Brandt's book today. It can generally be found online through third-party sellers. And one final note from the Fireside Bookshelf. None of the books featured on this program are ever intended to replace the Bible and the need for immersing ourselves in God's Word on a daily basis. We are grateful, however, to be able to benefit from the research and works of others who seek to remain faithful to biblical truth and provide insights to help strengthen and deepen our spiritual walk and to be able to share those resources with you.
If today's featured book has sparked your interest or addressed an area of concern for you or a friend, we hope you will consider adding a copy to your library of Christian resources. Nowadays, when busyness seems to be our business, we need to return to the lost art of reading so that we will continue learning more of God's Word and His Son, Jesus Christ, the only one who has the power to transform hearts and minds. The Fireside Bookshelf is a ministry of Sharon Hartz and can be heard on this station every Sunday at 4 p.m. Past episodes can be found anytime at www.sharonhartz.org. Thank you for joining us, and tune in next week for our next exciting feature here at the Fireside Bookshelf.